Do you have any tips when it comes to modeling these skills?
We do a lot of positive notes to our teachers. If I know that a teacher had a rough day, I'll go into their room at the end of the day and just put a sticky note on their desk saying, "You're doing an excellent job. We love you."
Welcome to the Moments for Myself podcast. I'm your host, Virginia, and in today's episode, we're focused on self-awareness. I'm speaking with Colleen Perry, a school counselor in Springfield, Massachusetts. Specifically, she is the City Connects coordinator at Mary O. Pottinger Elementary School. City Connects provides a whole child approach where the coordinator creates a tailored support plan for every student. After the episode, if you want something hands-on for your students or your kids to practice self-awareness skills, check out our Moments for Myself workbook published by McGraw-Hill at momentsformyself.com. Before we speak with Colleen, let's first begin with a definition of self-awareness from CASEL, the organization that helps make SEL an integral part of K-12 education. Self-awareness is the abilities to understand one's own emotions, thoughts, and values, and how they influence behavior across contexts. This includes capacities to recognize one's strengths and limitations with a well-grounded sense of confidence and purpose. It also includes, but is not limited to, integrating personal and social identities, identifying one's emotions, linking feelings, values, and thoughts, and having a growth mindset. And now, let's talk to Colleen. So Colleen, when we talk about self-awareness, what does it mean to you, or how do you define it?
I define self-awareness as just being aware of what's around you. So especially nowadays, it's being aware of how people's feelings are, being mindful of other people's feelings, trying to keep a safe space from people. With working in an elementary school, that's especially difficult because all of the kids want to hug you. And, you know, having to remind them that, like, oh, we can do a fist bump or we can do an elbow bump or something. But really just trying to be mindful of yourself and others and how you're feeling. With working in a school, it's being mindful of how kids are feeling and how staff are feeling, because this is a different world that we live in now. And it's really difficult, especially at the elementary school level, I will say, is we're always hands-on with everyone and we can't do that. So really just trying to be aware of your own mental health too, because it is hard. Like, I do want to give those kids hugs and I can't. Or, you know, if another staff member is upset, you want to try to console them, but you can't. So really just being mindful of yourself and what's going on around you and how you are aware of others.
Yeah. So you touched on the pandemic there and you mentioned some things that are harder now, especially with elementary students. How has the pandemic changed your approach to helping students develop self-awareness skills?
It's been a very difficult transition because you do want to hug those kids. You do want to sit on the floor next to them. Typically, I would be in classrooms having lunch with kids all the time. And now I have to stay apart from them because if they have their mask off and they're eating, then they have to be a further distance away from you. So it's not like you can sit up next to them and say, "Hey, what do you got for lunch today? Like, I'll totally trade you." But what we've tried to do in our building is really be aware of those students that come in, and you can tell right on their face that they're having a rough day. With elementary school students, I will say you can read a kid's face very well and they can read yours. But because we have to wear masks, all of it is really looking at their eyes and their body language. And so for us, that's been the really hard part, because I myself am very expressive with my face and the kids know that. And since they can't see most of my face, I've said, "Okay, well, look at my eyes. How do my eyes look right now? Can you see if I'm happy, if I'm sad? What is my body language telling you?" So it's really trying to take those skills that we normally teach kids, where like reading someone's face is a way and how to approach them if they're happy or sad or excited, and really trying to look at how their body is. Like, if they come in and they're hunched over and they're, you can tell that they're a little sad, or if they run right in the room and they're just very excited. We've really tried to work with taking the skills that we normally teach our students and just adapting them to how we can work with what we are given right now, which is hard. And especially training our staff to be very well aware of body language with kids, because typically we don't teach, you know, we teach facial expressions, or we can teach like basic body language skills, but now we need to look a little bit further and seeing what's going on with kids, especially because we've had a lot of kids that have had family members that have passed away. So dealing a lot with grief counseling and seeing on a kid's face, like, okay, I can see based on their eyes this morning, like, you know, they're not crying, but I can tell that they're just kind of sad. So it's taking that extra time with them. It's very difficult with, you know, the time that we're allotted, because unfortunately the world still moves on. And so we're not always given a lot of the extra time to really work with self-awareness and mental health, especially in students and in staff. So we're trying to fill it in as best as we can when we have the opportunities to do it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys have taken something, the body language, that maybe you would have touched on before, but as a result of the pandemic and the masks, you've really had to amp up that element. So you started to talk about time and having the time to do these things. And I ask everyone that I talk to, you know, teachers have so many things that they do throughout the day. What do you say to those that say, you know, I just don't have enough time for this stuff. I've got too many other things I have to get to.
So as being a counselor in the building, people come to you with all sorts of problems. And so one thing that I really try to educate teachers on is I say, if you take the 5 to 10 minutes now, it will save you hours in the long run. So I say to them, hey, I'm available. You can call me until 11 o'clock at night. I don't mind. I'd rather you call me and let us figure out a solution before you have a bigger problem. So I'm very fortunate that at my building, I have very, very dedicated teachers that I have really great relationships with. They'll call me, even if it's on the weekend, they'll be like, you know what? I was thinking about this kid all last night. What can I do to help them? And I say, okay, well, what's the problem? Let's figure out one small step and see if we can make it work. The hard part is not everybody has the time. We're not given the time right now to really work on the mental health and self-awareness of students. And I think that, you know, everyone, even in the school department and in the state and stuff, is starting to realize that this is really affecting our students and our staff. So I just say to teachers, just give me 5 to 10 minutes. You know, if you want to go for a walk around the building during your prep period or your lunch and you want to just chat about it, like, I'll grab my coat and let's go. Let's try to problem solve this before we have bigger fish to fry. And my staff is super great about it. They really try to be as proactive as possible. Sometimes we're not proactive. Sometimes we have to be reactive. And so we just say, okay, you know what? Let's meet and get this together. But the one thing that we really try to do is be as proactive as possible with our students.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Take the 5 minutes now and it will save you a ton of headaches later. It makes a ton of sense. So I've spoken with other experts about SEL skills, and they always talk about the importance of modeling the skills for students. Do you have any tips when it comes to modeling these skills?
Some of my teachers here, they've been doing this a long time. So they realize that taking those couple extra minutes in the morning to really like acknowledge a student, say, hey, how was your morning? Like, what did you do last night? What did you do over the weekend? We have several teachers that have secret handshakes with kids. And so they say to the kid, like, hey, do you want to do our handshake? And they can tell based on whether the kid wants to or not, whether the kid's having a great day or not so much. I will go back to the body language, because that's a big thing that I feel like everyone should really be educated on, because it's not just in a school. It's when you're out in public. Like, we're trying to teach these kids skills, not just for their school environment, for their home. And, you know, if they're at the grocery store or at the mall or wherever, to see like, oh, you know, maybe this person needs me to smile for them, or this person needs me to hold the door for them, or to do something nice for others. So we really try to make sure that all of our students are very positive to each other and to our staff. Like, and I say, okay, well, you know, you're not having a great day. Well, that's okay. You have a buddy right here. We try to do a lot of, like, even with the pandemic, peer modeling with each other and with our staff too. Like, I walk through the hallways in the morning and I can tell, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go run out on my break and go grab that teacher a coffee or a McDonald's Coca-Cola, because that's, our building has a big McDonald's Coca-Cola love. So sometimes I walk in with 2 trays of Cokes and just give them around. We do a lot of positive notes to our teachers too. So sometimes at the end of the day, if I know that a teacher had a rough day, I'll go into their room at the end of the day and just put a sticky note on their desk saying, you're doing an excellent job. We love you.
And that's great.
And all of the teachers know, like, in my office, I have a chocolate drawer. They they just come in and just say, I need the drawer. And I'm like, take whatever you want, you know. Like, yep. And just even quite often, the administration and I will just go and put like little candy bars or something in teachers' mailboxes. And it's stuff like that, that it's a great surprise. You don't realize like, hey, if you put that chocolate in my mailbox, that just made my day. Cause I don't know who it came from, but it just was like, oh, I needed that. And no one had to even say anything. And that's what's really great here. And I know a lot of other schools in the district that I work in really try to do that for their staff and for their students. Like quite often I'll, you know, slip a little note in a little kid's backpack or something just to say like, you had a great day today. Let's have a great day tomorrow too.
Oh, that's great. I love that. It sounds like you guys are doing a lot to model various SEL skills. At one point, you said that, you know, you're not just teaching skills for school, but also for home. Is there anything that families can do at home to help students develop better self-awareness skills?
I think just constantly reminding students that we're not the only people in the world. There's all different types of people. We have a lot of students here that are, they're very self-aware. And so they'll go home to their parents and say, oh, my friend at school, you know, didn't have a pair of gloves. I gave them my pair, so I need to go get a pair now. Or a lot of it is we have a very like giving community to each other. Like if a kid forgets their lunch, we have free breakfast and free lunch for students. But like another kid will say, hey, let me give you like half my bag of chips, or do you want some of my cookies? So for parents, one thing that I try to say to parents is your kids are more aware than you think that they are. So like they're aware of your conversations that happen at home. So to be mindful of what you're talking about in front of your child and your kids, they just want to be there and help other people. That's what they all want to do. And so giving them those opportunities to do that. So when we've donated stuff to the local animal shelter or to the food bank, the kids want to be a part of that. So just having the parents reinforce, this is great behavior for you. And it's great for us because it makes us feel good that we could help someone else. And I think that's a big part of self-awareness is like realizing that, you know, you need to be aware of what's going on around you, but also for parents that like your kids really, they're smarter than we think. They really are. And they're more aware of things. And just to recognize that and then say to them, hey, you know what? Like, I'm so glad that you helped out your friend at lunch today, or you noticed that your friend, you know, needed a pair of gloves and didn't have one. Or, you know, they didn't have a coat. So you said, hey, I have an extra one at home. Like, let me bring it in for you. Kids really just want to be there to help. They love to help with anything.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially kids at that age. I can see that. For someone just getting started with self-awareness, or, you know, whether a teacher or guidance counselor that works with kids or anyone that works with kids, do you have a go-to approach or activity or something that typically works?
So the one thing that I will say is just observe. So I go into classrooms and I observe and I kind of see like, oh, okay, you know, these are some quiet kids that probably normally wouldn't get recognition just because they're quiet, they keep to themselves, like, you know, and then there's other kids in the class that run around or are very active or talking all the time or constantly raising their hands. So I really try to go for those students in my kind of off time from working with the kids that need a little bit more assistance, right, and just sit and talk to them. Sometimes I take them out for recess, just, you know, for four or five of them, just to spend that extra time with them, because kids will tell you all sorts of stuff. I have learned all of the favorite TV shows, all of the latest like TikTok trends. Like these kids are very tech savvy too. So if I can't figure out something on my phone, I've gone to like a second grader and they fixed it for me. But just taking that time to observe the students and then going in, and I sit and have lunch with kids every single day. And the kids love it because they just want to sit there and talk to you and tell you about their lives. And you really learn what kids like, what kids feel, how kids are feeling about a certain situation. With the older grades, you can have, you know, those more in-depth conversations about how are you feeling with the fact that we're in a pandemic and, you know, you can't go and play with your friends all the time, or we have to wear a mask all day long, or we have to be separated, whereas we're normally not. So I really think just taking that extra time, because it will help you later, definitely, to just sit and talk with kids. And even with staff, like quite often the, you know, I leave at 3:30, but I'm here till 4:30 or 5 because some teachers just want to sit and just talk. And it's like, okay, well, let's, you know, we'll talk about your classroom or we'll talk about what's going on in your life, or just really taking the time to have conversations with people. And especially parents too, like talking to parents and saying, hey, you're a healthcare worker. Do you guys need anything at home? Does your child really understand what you do for a job? Or really just conversations and relationship building. Because if you don't have those relationships, you're not going to have self-awareness with the students and the staff because they're not going to want to talk to you. And you're not going to really build on the SEL piece of it because a lot of it is just having those relationships with kids and with staff and parents.
I like that you said to just listen to them because it sounds so simple on the surface, but you can get a lot out of it. I interviewed an educator for the Responsible Decision-Making episode that said something very similar. You know, just give them a chance to talk, that most kids just want to be heard and that can go a long way. So it sounds like you guys do a lot at your school with self-awareness and other SEL skills. Have you noticed changes throughout the school as a result of all of these efforts? Because it sounds like you do a lot.
I would say I've seen improvements in self-awareness, but I've seen a decrease in our school community overall. So like our school would normally do, we call it community circle, where the entire school goes into the gym. And if like the chorus, which we can't have chorus because it's singing, normally like in December, they would sing their holiday songs that they've been working on. Or we would just, it's a big community. We at this school are a big family because the students come here and preschool or kindergarten and are here through fifth grade. So, and we have a lot of their siblings. We've, you know, had some of their parents years ago. And so we do everything as a school. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we can't do that. So the kids are very aware of the students in their own classroom, but they don't have a lot of exposure to the other students in other classrooms. We typically do a lot of peer mentoring. So fifth graders, we have them help out in kindergarten and first grade, but because we have to keep everything in one contained classroom, we can't do a lot of that. So there's a lot of self-awareness with the individual students, but not the self-awareness with other ages or other grades, unless they have it in their own home. So, and even for staff, like all of our meetings are on Zoom. So it's not like we can meet for one of our meetings and have like a potluck dessert, or we can do these activities together because we're not supposed to be near each other. I will say we've increased self-awareness with the individual student and the staff member, but not as a whole community. And that's the hard part, is we're starting to really lose that with students and losing just that whole, like around this time, we would do a big Thanksgiving thing. We'd do a big Christmas or holiday thing. And we can't do that. So there's pluses and there's minuses right to this. Like we are building individual skills, but the other thing that we're also losing is a lot of social skills because kids were not, our students here were out from March, the middle of March, 2020 until the end of March of 2021. So for that year of time, these kids did not interact with each other. So we're seeing, you know, we're building skills and then we're really seeing deficits in skills that were then like, okay, now we need to really work on social skills, but how can you work on social skills when kids still need to be 3 to 6 feet apart?
Yeah. Well, hopefully everyone will be able to come back together again soon so you can do all of that. Is there anything that you haven't had a chance to say that you would like to say?
I would just emphasize, like we had talked about, just sitting there and listening, because we don't really realize, especially with kids and even parents, like, you know, I've called a parent and then they'll tell me, you know, a whole bunch of stuff's going on in their family. And sometimes people just need to talk. And I feel like that with self-awareness is very important because it may bring up something in you. It may bring up something in your life, or you're more aware of what's going on in that student's life or going on in their home life. So really just the one thing that was kind of nice about the pandemic is it kind of made everyone slow down a little bit.
Right.
And not live this whole crazy busy life. And unfortunately, now that, you know, things are, well, semi back to normal a little bit, you know, we're not taking that time anymore to be reflective of things and to be more aware of things and to be having those conversations. So just really emphasizing taking that time to just listen, because you will learn so much more, and it really helps you in the long run if you just take the time to do it then.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you. And I think we'll end it on that note. So thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. This has been great.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I just wanted to highlight some of the key points that Colleen made during our talk. Early in the conversation, she said that to her, self-awareness has a lot to do with being aware of your own mental health. And in her school, they seem to do a lot with helping teachers stay on top of their mental health. And they do it through some really simple yet meaningful gestures that could be replicated elsewhere. There's the sticky notes on the teacher's desk saying, "You're great, we love you," when they know they've had a hard day. There's the surprise chocolate in the mailbox, or even that chocolate drawer that she keeps for them in her office. Something that's not quite as simple as chocolate in the mailbox, but certainly important. When we were talking about finding the time to teach self-awareness, she repeatedly emphasizes with her teachers how important it is to find that 5 or 10 minutes now to address something, and it will save you hours later and prevent a situation from blowing up. It's a way of actually enabling self-awareness in the teachers, because a part of self-awareness is understanding your own needs and knowing when you need help. A lot of self-awareness is identifying emotions, and it seems like Colleen and the teachers at her school do a lot of things to draw out the students' emotions and then observe their reactions. She talked about the secret handshake that some teachers have and being able to see through those types of interactions to tell whether a kid is having a good day or not. She talked about sitting and having lunch with the kids and asking how they feel about the pandemic. Just simple things to get them to express themselves, and how they're feeling can maybe go a long way to helping them develop self-awareness. She noted the importance of teaching body language right now because of all of the mask wearing, and I can see where understanding nonverbal communication could enable better self-awareness and self-control. And lastly, I just wanted to know what she recommended for parents when she talked about reinforcing when you see your kids doing something kind for someone else. I think that probably helps kids see the positives in themselves and can help reinforce a positive self-image. And it's also something she practices as well, that any counselor or teacher could do, by putting a note in the student's backpack saying, "You know, you had a good day today. Let's keep it up tomorrow." So those are the things I just wanted to highlight. If you want to give your kids or your students practice with self-awareness skills, like identifying their strengths and weaknesses, identifying their emotions, or building a growth mindset, check out the Moments for Myself workbook, available at momentsformyself.com. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks Colleen for sharing your experiences and tips.